Hello, Internet, and welcome to another edition of Fans First, the Ideal Comics official nerdcast. I am Christopher Lawton, co-founder and co-owner of Ideal Comics. And with me today is our lead artist and one of my best friends, Barry Tetz. Go ahead and say hi.
Ooh. Hey, Internet world. How we doing, fans and nerds all out there? Like Chris said, I am the lead artist. I came on to Ideal Comics after me and Chris had worked on a few other projects together, most notably, if you follow us back in the day, PWBB, Penguins with Baseball Bats. But here we are today to bring you some news from Ideal Comics. So let's get to it, Chris.
All right. Sounds good. Now, normally on this podcast, we don't like to make it. We don't like to focus on one medium or another. We're a comic book company. We love comic books. We're going to talk about comic books as much as possible, but also movies, video games, etc. Today, however, is going to be an exception. This is pretty much going to be a movie-focused podcast. And the reason for that is because the two big comic book company movies, DC and Marvel, made some fairly large headlines this week. And I think we'd be remiss if we didn't, you know, talk about the implications of these and what we think about them. So, just kind of giving you guys an agenda. Today is going to be very focused on movies. We're going to start off talking about Marvel. Then we're going to move into talk about DC. And then we'll probably close it up talking about something a little bit different, not related necessarily related to American comics. But Barry and I are huge fans of Ghost in the Shell. And they've been talking about the Ghost in the Shell actress moving forward with that film, that live action movie. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy the ride. Well, let's open the discussion with a little bit of a little talk about Marvel. Now, if you haven't been following the news, earlier this week, I'm getting a lot of reports about whether it was confirmed or announced or rumored or whatever, but supposedly Robert Downey Jr. is in talks to be a huge role in Captain America 3. And when that news broke, that he was in negotiations, I think he said he was, that he was in negotiations to have a fairly large role. When that news broke, news sites all over the internet ran with it. This is Civil War, which if you don't know, Marvel's Civil War was a storyline from 2008 in which you had two sides split right down the middle of the Marvel Universe. Tony Stark, Iron Man, believed that all superhumans, superheroes, and villains should have to register with the government as living weapons of mass destruction. And Captain America, Steve Rogers, said, no, we shouldn't have to do that. We are, that infringes on our rights. And it was a big issue. I wrote a paper about it in college that I won't bore you guys with, but it was a very political story. But at the forefront were these two characters. It was Captain America versus Iron Man. Those were the two sides of the Civil War. And so I can see why people have kind of jumped onto this bandwagon. But I have my own thoughts on what I think about that. But I'm going to send it over to Barry first. Barry, what do you think about just this idea of Captain America 3 being Civil War?
I don't know if I like it so much if it is Civil War, if it sets up for Civil War, maybe, but maybe I guess it would be because like they have Thanos in the next Avengers, so it'd be kind of hard to do Civil War and a Thanos film. But that, you know, it excites me because that was a huge event. It was really politically charged, no matter who you are, political or politics get into you. You get into politics almost no matter after the age of 18. You're almost you have to. And if it is, yeah, exactly. So if it is, Robert Downey Jr., if he's got, like you said, a feature role, that's pretty sweet. That's pretty big time. I like that. And I'd like to see more him and Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans, the actors, playing those two roles versus each other. Because we had a little bit of that. We had a little bit of on the edge in the first Avengers, put on the suit, let's go a few rounds. That was fun. That's already set up there a little bit. And they're such different characters and they're such different actors in their own right, both very good. I mean, Evans, his last couple years, has really, he's always been very solid in anything he does. but he's really shown the mature chops, and I look forward to seeing a lot more stuff, hopefully, soon. But as far as the Civil War goes, that'd be huge. That'd be fun. And if they handle it right, I mean, who wouldn't want to see that?
I agree. I think it could be really well done. And Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans just have such an amazing chemistry when they're on screen together, like in Avengers. It was just fun to watch them together. And so a movie featuring those two as leads, I think, is really a cool idea. I have issue with the idea of Civil War as a whole, like the storyline, mostly because I don't think it handled the subject matter as fairly as they intended it to be handled. I mean,
right.
Iron Man was pretty much the villain of that piece. Like, if you read the comic books, he was the villain. His side, his pro-government side, was the villain. And Steve Rogers was almost like a Christ-like martyr in that. It was really heavy-handed, and I didn't really care for the story on the whole. That being said, I think it could be a really fun way to take the cinematic universe. I mean, movies have the added benefit of like tone and facial expression and movement and pacing that comic books don't really have.
Right. Like, they have to do it on more dramatic settings.
Right. They have to do it. And don't get me wrong, there is art that is in certain comic books. You can find art that is as good as anything you can see in a movie. Like, I'm not saying that the art in comic books aren't beautiful or that writers in comic books don't do a good job of moving a story at a good pace. Good writers, anyway. I'm not saying that comic books aren't a good storytelling medium. However, I think that it is fairly limited in terms of nuance or subtlety. And Civil War missed that mark considerably.
Right.
And also, I didn't really care for the idea of them taking these characters with so much history, and it just seemed to come out of nowhere. Which is why I kind of like, why one of the reasons I think it might be fun for the cinematic universe is it's not coming out of nowhere. I mean, we've seen Tony Stark kind of a little go off the rails in the Iron Man movies. It makes sense that he might feel this at the end of Iron Man 3. And on the same token, you've got Captain America, who's already fought against government intrusion. He did that in Winter Soldier, and it was actually really well done. So it to me makes sense that they're heading in this direction, and I think if they do it, it's going to come off better than I'll enjoy it more than I did the comic book.
Yeah, if I can build on that, Chris. The premises is fun. The setting already is just fun and solid setting and premises. In comics, anytime you have something like that, they have to exaggerate things. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's only so much you can do from frame to frame, and like you said, a writer, you know, there's only so much they can translate from spoken to written to what the mind reads and perceives. And so, and even artists, and that excuse me, with crossover series, that had some great art. I mean, the covers are freaking amazing.
Yeah.
So there's just so much you have to almost always overexaggerate. When I'm drawing, like, you know, dramatic, or I'm like drawing someone laughing, even if it's like a subtle chuckle or something, you have to a little bit overexaggerate just to bring the reader along with you. Because sometimes the reader's on the same page, but sometimes they're not. So you just got to make sure that that's there. But as far as like it relating to or translating over to the silver screen, yeah, I think it would be a lot more subtle. You wouldn't feel your hand pushed so much, or your you wouldn't be taken for a ride as Iron Man being a villain so much. So I can definitely see that. I think it would relate itself a lot better to the big screen.
Right. And of course, we can't have a conversation about Civil War coming to the big screen without also talking about the end of the story and the big event that stemmed out of that. You have... Okay, I'm going to take this in one of two directions. First, I want to ask you a question. Before we get to the big event, but let's talk about something else. Can you do Civil War without Spider-Man?
Fantastic Four.
or Fantastic Four. I mean, Reed is the one who created Frankenthor. But I mean, you've got the big reveal in the second issue of Civil War. The thing that shocked the world was when Peter Parker unmasked.
Yeah.
And that was a big moment.
Which, like a lot of nerds have different, or a lot of comic fans have a lot of different opinions.
Opinions on it, but it's, you can't deny that that moment in that comic was a big, like, trigger. That was a big movement in that comic. And in the Marvel Universe in general. You know, then you've got the issues of, does it make sense or not, or no? I don't want to get into that. But you tell that story? And then of course, there was the second big moment, two issues later, when Peter betrayed Tony and went over to Cap's side.
Right.
Can you tell the same story without Spider-Man? Because Spider-Man's still, the movie film rights are still owned by Sony. There was that rumor a couple of weeks ago that Marvel was talking about getting back the rights for just a movie or two. And that was just a rumor. I don't think it's going to happen. Sony's said before that that Spider-Man is like their number one money-making property, which is why they keep making movies. They aren't just going to loan Spider-Man out. Just not going to happen. So let me ask you, do you think that they can do the story without Spider-Man?
You know, that's an awesome question. You know what they would do? They would give that part, that character, that play, they would give that to somebody else, a different character. The thing is, they haven't established somebody to play that character with in their universe. I don't think, anyway. Maybe if Hawkeye was that person, or somebody else, like maybe Black Widow, if she was that person, but they haven't given her a movie. You know, they could do that with one of those characters, but I think you would want to really have to have them be that big of a character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that type of character, because, you know, the reveal, like Hawkeye, you know, Hawkeye is, well, he's not known. I guess he could don a mask, the Hawkeye mask, which would be really cool, I think. And then that'd be kind of fun, but I don't see Marvel Disney doing that at all.
Well, I don't know. I think you have... I like the idea of replacing the character with someone else. Because what Peter Parker kind of served in that was it's just because of his character, who he is. He's an everyman. He's supposed to represent the common man. Okay. And so you have the common man who, starts off on the side pro-government.
Right.
And then switches to the anti-government side. Like that movement. I think if we... Do they have anyone set in the Marvel Universe who you could say is, like, representative of the everyman? I don't know.
Let me think on that, because, you know, we have... You know what? If they... this would be fun. If they did Mark Ruffalo, and hear me out, as, like, and not everyone, maybe they play it off, you know, I'm sure, like, a lot of people do know, but if they play it off as not everyone knowing that he is the Hulk, as if Bruce Banner is the Hulk, and he say, like, maybe, like, there's a insane invasion someplace or somewhere where, or he saved some people while being both the Hulk, and at the end it was Bruce Banner, the man, that came up with some ingenious way to save a bunch of people, and then it's revealed that, you know, maybe the Hulk maybe started the thing.
Okay.
And then at the end, you know, Bruce Banner, the man, saves them all. Okay, and they played him, they made him a national hero. And then that reveal is, and they play that as the reveal, you know, that the Hulk is Bruce Banner. They could do that because, you know what, Ruffalo has that. People, like, love him. Like, you gravitate towards that guy. Just the actor. You know, he's an endearing actor. He just has that what you call, aura about him, kind of, per se. And yeah, I think they could play that, because I think he's the actor to do that. I think the character would be have to handle the right way, but I think as far as what we have right now, they could do that. He'd be the best one. I can't think of anyone else they'd want to bring in. That they would have to bring in somebody and give him a shot movie. Maybe Ant-Man. Maybe they could do with Ant-Man.
You know, maybe. Ant-Man would be the next one, but it'd be before Captain America 3. Mm-hmm. You might be able to get away with Ant-Man being the one that moves from right to left. He's got the science background. I guess you can kind of get away with, especially if Paul Rudd's playing him.
Yeah. He's got the happy-go-lucky kind of every dude guy kind of thing.
Right. Right. I think you could get away with Paul Rudd playing that role. That's a good idea. And I also like the idea of Banner doing that as well. I think both of those would make sense. And honestly, I think Black Widow makes sense as well.
She does, but I don't know. Like, the public already knows who she is. You know, she's been in front of.
That's true.
You know, so that kind of takes away that big reveal part, which you kind of need to establish that turning point. And I wanted to touch on this also outside of the Civil War setting and news a little bit. That it looks like that Jesus was now rumored to be up for the Doctor Strange cast also.
Jim Caviezel?
No, Jesus. Jesus Christ. Have you seen, like, every week it's somebody else?
I don't know how that movie's going to turn out. I mean,
I'm starting to get nervous because every week it's some other major big, well-known actor.
It's just, do people just not want to play the role? I mean,
I don't know. Yeah. I'm not hearing. I haven't tuned in to my AMC. There's that shit out for them. Those guys, they have their ears to everything. I haven't actually tuned into them this week. I've been so busy. But they usually have some good news on what the rumors are and actually what is. And last I know, no one has really turned it down. But there's a lot of guys up for now and turning it down. So.
Wow. All right. You know, all right, here's the thing, Marvel. You got 2 years until Doctor Strange. A year and a half. It's summer of 2016. You got to get it figured out. Look, you got to get it figured out.
Well, to me, that's a very compelling role. I can't see a lot of actors that are right now at the precipice of becoming more. Like, they're trying to move into the A-list act. Like, what's his name? Who just won for Dallas Buyers Club? The guy that we all think is like 28, but he's really 44. Jared Leto.
Yeah, Jared Leto. Uh-huh.
You know, I would, I don't think, I haven't seen him at all act anywhere near what that character is. Like, he's a great actor, anything I've seen him do. But it'd be interesting. I'd love to see him in it because it's such a different role for him. And I think he's a good actor.
Yeah, I agree. Let's move on to the big event that stems out of this. Is, of course, if it is Civil War, are they setting up Steve Rogers' death within the cinematic universe? I think they are, honestly.
Go ahead.
Chris Evans, they've talked about it. Chris Evans only has one movie after Captain America 3. He's only signed on for one more movie. Most likely the third Avengers film. Mm-hmm. I think you could... I think you could actually have a very shocking death, or maybe after Captain America 3, he's arrested, like at the end of the comic. Thanos shows up for Avengers 3, and everyone's like, oh no, it's Thanos. And so they bring Captain America 3 out of prison, and he's killed. And you'll have a huge setup for that. And then suddenly, we don't know how we're going to take on Thanos. We've lost our natural born leader. So then Bucky Barnes stands up with the shield, and he's like, I got this. He's got a shield in one hand and his sweet knife in the other. And I would pay to see that movie.
I would too. I mean, yeah, Evans, even though you pretty much wrote it right there, I'd still pay to see it. No. Evans has said, you know, that he wants to do, he wants to take a break. He wants to do maybe some directing. He wants to do some other things. And, you know, I can see it, man. It's like how many, like 4 or 5 years of playing like the same character, the same, you know, it takes a toll on you. I can imagine.
Especially just, you that know, you physical of a character. Creative
juices. Yeah, you want to, yeah. And it's strenuous work, you know, just also keeping in shape and stuff. So, I can see that. You know what? Honestly, that premise would be fun because the thing is, the poor guy has almost died in every Captain America he's had. The end of the first one, the second one, he's pretty much virtually dead too, or whatever.
Yeah.
So I guess we just keep on killing him. He's like the Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher or something.
Well, we got Harry Potter onto this. I don't know.
Bam! What's up, nerds?
Man, I wish Reese was with us. Reese hates Civil War.
Yeah. He'd just be giving, well, how long do you want to stay on the subject? Because Reese would blow this subject up.
Wait, it'd be the whole podcast would be on Civil War.
Civil War, baby.
All right. all right, so let's move on. I'm excited to see what comes out, but I want to move on to the other big movie announcement this week. DC set up their 10 films for the next 5 years. And it's actually compressed into 4 years, 2016 through 2020.
Right.
And you've got, I'll read down the list real quick. I'm sure you guys have heard of this if you've been on the internet at all this week. You've got Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice in 2016, which is still a terrible name. Why the V? Why not Versus?
It could be case court, that's why.
It's a case in court. Court case. And why don't we just call it Dawn of Justice? That would be like so much of a better name. Just Dawn of Justice. Superman, Dawn of Justice. The Man of Steel 2, Dawn of Justice. I can think of a million better names. Or hell, Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. okay, so you've got Dawn of Justice in 2016. Also in 2016, you have Suicide Squad, which I wrote on Friday about this that on the idealcomics.net that I think Suicide Squad is probably their response to Guardians of the Galaxy, if I had to guess. But I don't know. You've got a C-list team of rogues, likable rogues, you know, doing good things. Or bad things, I guess, if you want to go that far. Then in 2017, we have Wonder Woman and Justice League Part 1. Then in 2018, we have The Flash starring Ezra Miller and Aquaman starring Jason Momoa. 2019 sees Shazam, which we already know Dwayne Johnson's in Shazam.
Boom.
There's Black Adam. And Justice League Part 2. And then in 2020, we're rounding off this little group of 10 with Cyborg starring Ray Fisher, who is going to have a cameo in Dawn of Justice, and a new Green Lantern film. And then during this time, they have said they're going to do a standalone Superman and a standalone Batman film, but those are not planned or slated yet, but that will be during this time. So, Barry, what do you think of that lineup?
You know, I think a lot of things. I mean, like, they're doing one up on Marvel. They're announcing the movies in ahead of time, but they're also announcing, you know, the titles, and they have their actors already lined up, which is pretty cool. If you want to ask me what has been most excited so far, really the Cyborg one with what's his name?
Ray Fisher.
Real excited for that. The guy is supposed to be, you know, he's an actor first. Anytime, to me, you get an actor first into a movie, this is the Batman principle, where I thought, you know, Christian Bale, actor first, action hero second. So that has me real excited. If they handle that correctly, or if they handle any movie correctly, you get a good movie. The Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman versus, and Wonder Woman Justice League Part 1, it's real interesting, you know. She was rumored to be going after another lead role in some action movie recently. I can't remember what it was exactly, but more power to her. She's trying to show the pundits, or the people who were critics who are saying that she can't act. And there are quite a few, honestly, we haven't seen that much of her. She was a model first. Beautiful, beautiful woman. But I'm excited to see what she can bring to us as Diana or Wonder Woman, however they might play that. And hopefully she knocks it out of the park, because we need a strong, kick-ass female lead in a superhero movie. We haven't had it yet. A lot of fans are wondering why. A lot of fans are wondering, where's the Black Widow movie? Me and you discussed that, so...
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Momoa as Aquaman. That's just awesome, because I think we've talked about this before on an unaired cast before, but he's an imposing dude. He's like the biggest dude they've cast so far, I think.
Yeah, physical size, except maybe The Rock.
The Rock, but yeah, I think they're about the same height probably. I think they're about 6'4", 6'5" ish. But more, we all know he has charisma. He can be a very likable guy. But usually he leads with a brute mentality. Mm-hmm. He leads with, I'm a badass, I'm brooding and brooding. I mean, and just, I'm a tough guy type thing. Taking on the role of, King of Atlantis is usually, it's got to have some sharp character. You got to have a good lines and everything like that. It's going to be a deep, excuse the pun, deep movie. So I hope they pull off right, and I hope that, because I think he can. I think he can bring that powerful recognition to Aquaman, because we all root for Aquaman, because we all think that he, well, I don't know, Chris, but me and Matt think that Aquaman just isn't used right. Chris
is Aquaman. I like Namor more, but I like Aquaman. I agree with pretty much everything you've said. I think those are the ones I'm really excited about, Wonder Woman and Cyborg. I love the casting of Jason Momoa. Before the nerd cast, we were talking about, the diversity of this lineup, as lead actors, and I think that's great. Aquaman, Arthur, was definitely not a person of color. He was very white. He was not a POC. He was very, very white. Blonde haired, blue eyes, very, very, very white. And I love the idea that they've cast a POC. He's Native Hawaiian. His father was full-blooded Native Hawaiian. And so I love the idea that they've cast that in this role. I think it's going to be great. Pacific Islander. And, and then Cyborg. We've got our first mainstream, I'll say, black-led superhero. Like, black-lead superhero film, and I think that's awesome.
And it's like the first one. Sorry to interrupt.
What's that?
First one? Is that the first one since Blade, like Blade 3, like just about 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah, honestly. I mean, and I wouldn't even know that I would count Blade as a superhero film.
Right. But, action film.
Action film, but I'm not sure I'd count it as a superhero film. This is a straight up cinematic superhero film. And it just, again, it's neat that DC is trying to beat him to the punch, and I hope they do. But at the same time, I would love Marvel. If Marvel could give me a Falcon movie starring Anthony Mackie, I would pay so much money for that. Like, I would be there opening night for that, because he was my favorite part of Winter Soldier. I loved Winter Soldier. I thought it was a fantastic film. I loved Falcon. He was my favorite part of that film.
If I can speak to that, the actor was awesome. Mm-hmm. He was a Falcon. He backed up Cat completely. He did everything, the Falcon does. I don't know, to me, I don't see it being an entertaining movie. Like, I want to see like more, and this is nerdy, but I want to see a more extravagant suit on him.
Well, yeah, of course, that would be part of the movie. We would be him becoming a superhero, not just a side character. Him becoming a superhero in his own right. I would love that movie.
Yeah,
and I think that a more elaborate suit would be part of that.
Absolutely. All right, I'm down with that. That's all cool.
Right, cool. The part that the one the announcement that really excites me though is Green Lantern.
Oh shit!
That movie, do that. The last one, 2006 was it? 2007?
Yeah. No, it was at least 11, dude.
Was it that late?
Jeez. 2010 or 11, man. Yeah.
That 2011. You're right. With Ryan Reynolds, that movie was such a steaming pile. I love that they're trying again.
Well, yeah, they have to.
It would have been so easy for them to just say, which I talked about this in my column as well, is one of my big points. But it would have been so easy for them to say, well, the failure of the Green Lantern film, clearly we just don't want comedy science fiction. We just don't want it. Like, that would have been easy to say, rather than the fact that the movie was just terrible.
Yeah. Well, no, they have kind of said that. They said, like, you know, we're doing the, you know, everything's going to be serious.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I don't know how you're going to do Flash like that.
See, I think because of the success of Guardians of the Galaxy, we're going to see a return or a redaction on that edict.
They're just going to push that off the side. Like, yeah, we were just saying for our imminent movies, man. We ain't talking about
right now.
The ones right now we're talking about. But yeah, you know, well, that's probably what we're seeing the Green Lantern 9 years after. You know, it's the last one. It's coming out in 20 or
2020. It's the last one they announced.
Yeah, so you know, that's 6 years from now. So people will have forgotten. It's kind of like, you know, Batman versus Robin or the crap that was with your beloved Mr. Freeze and all that.
Ah, yes. You've got to chill.
Yes, yes. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that, fans, but now you can be talking about that for another half an hour.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. But you know, I still, this is still a sore point with me because people who just don't seem to really pay attention too much to certain things will see Ryan Reynolds in that movie and say, oh, he was a horrible actor, shouldn't have cast. You know, I think you can say he was miscast. I don't really believe in miscasting. I believe in bad scripts. I believe in maybe bad directing, but I don't believe if you have a solid actor, I don't believe if the actor can act, which I believe Reynolds is a very damn good actor. I don't believe you can really miscast someone. I believe you can misuse a character and not lead him the right way, and maybe the actor didn't get the character right. But as we saw, they were trying to do, like, you know, Wally West meets Green Lantern type character, you know?
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't have anything. I have nothing against Ryan Reynolds, even in that role. I mean, he was playing the Hal Jordan that the director wanted him to play.
Right, right.
And the screenwriter wanted him to be.
Well, and the producers, that had a lot of hands in the cookie jar on that one.
Yeah. I think that, get within that context, Ryan Reynolds did a fairly good job. Within that context, I didn't like the character. I didn't like the story, but
I hated it. The villains were horrible. Like, just the setups were horrible. Like, and like, I even love. There's so many good actors that were not misused, but just misused. I mean, Skarsgård, is it Pierce?
Skarsgård.
And for what he was given, you know, he did it how he wanted to do it, but it was just like the character was just crap. I mean, the whole thing was crap. He had some fun scenes where he, you know, you can see how good of an actor he is, but it was just a boring, annoying villain.
Yeah.
What's his name? Mark Strong as Sinestro?
Yeah.
To me, he was awesome. Like, he was so phenomenal. Like,
he was my favorite.
Yeah, he was, you know, just so awesome. Like, I wanted such a sequel just because of him. Yeah. I was like, okay, can we really try to push past this and go with number two and maybe really sell it on just something, but maybe build a hype somehow, get the talk early, get the viewership and trend up. But, you know, that didn't happen, obviously. And we're not going to get Mark Strong back as Sinestro, which really sucks because he was awesome. And he would have been an awesome evil villain, and he almost deserved his own movie based on his ability to, you know, play that character, because we all know he's an awesome actor.
Yeah.
But, you know, who's another actor I was forgetting in that movie? I don't know. There were certain parts of that, even the N. Subner, or whatever, what's his name, Abe? Abin Sur. I put Apocalypse in the Green Lantern, apparently, but Abin Sur, he was even good at the beginning, I thought, and the actor did a good job, and I'm not sure if I'm quite familiar who that actor was, but it just was really, it's a travesty almost that movie fell apart. It was just a steaming pile of crap so badly because of all the actors and solid parts they had they can put together.
Yeah. I agree. And so I am just excited to see them try it again. It gives me hope that DC is learning, or that Warner Brothers is learning or trying to figure out how they can make their cinematic universe successful.
Right.
And I think you're right. I think it's very, very clear reason it's at the end of the list, that they aren't moving it up. You know, putting it with The Flash and Aquaman in a couple of years. I think it's very clear why they're not doing that, and because the last one has still left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. And absolutely. So I'm excited about, honestly, I'm excited about the list, but I'm cautiously optimistic because I've been burned before.
You know, let me ask you this. Do you think they can hit with every single one of these? Like Marvel? Because Marvel pretty much has virtually hit. Like, a lot of fans didn't like Iron Man 3, but Iron Man 3 was not a bad movie. They didn't like the twist on it.
No. I think... And no, I don't. And the reason I don't think that is because they do not have one cohesive voice driving everything. They don't have a Kevin Feige.
Kevin
Feige.
Yeah.
We never did find out how that was pronounced. Is it Feige?
Trust me.
Okay. It's Feige. So they don't have a Kevin Feige driving everything. And that's unfortunate because I don't know that Kevin Feige gets as much credit for creating the the cinematic universe as he should.
Not main, like in the back ways, like a lot of people, Hollywood people who know what he's done, he's the man right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm pretty sure people are trying to get him away from Marvel.
I believe it.
But he's the man right now for doing what he's done. Among us nerds, I don't believe so. Among us nerds, like, we're all like, you know, Josh Whedon, you know, which I love, Josh Whedon, you know, mm-hmm. Firefly for Life, Browncoats, what's up? It's not, you know, Joss Whedon's done his thing, and you know, he's always going to be good. He's always going to be doing his thing, but it's Feige's the man, like you said, driving this thing.
And I think that that's going to be, I think that's important to know, and I don't think DC has that, and I think that might hurt them a little bit. I think they can hit with most of them if they do it right, if they put some solid directors behind it. You know, I think the biggest fear I would have is if they put Zack Snyder behind every film that they do.
Yeah.
Because Zack Snyder should not be doing The Flash. He just shouldn't. And what he should not be doing Wonder Woman. He just shouldn't.
No. Let me ask you this. On that note, what about Ben Affleck?
Like as a director?
No, as a director and as maybe the voice.
You know, I could see that. Ben Affleck has got an amazing eye for direction.
He does.
He's got an amazing eye for just film in general. I could see Ben Affleck being a guiding voice.
Me too. I can feel that.
Yeah, I could see that. I'd like to see Ben Affleck do I'd like to see him do Flash or even the Batman film. He's done such good crime films before.
Yeah.
And even like he did Argo,
Argo is
fantastic.
One best picture. I mean, that's, you know, Warner Brothers boy right now. You know, and like, I mean, The Town, right? The Town?
The Town, yes.
Like, you put Batman in that, man. What's up?
Yeah, I would like to see him do the solo Batman movie, to be quite honest. Well, see him act in it and direct in it. I think it'd be fantastic.
Absolutely. I think that's what, like, you know, everyone, like, I thought, I think a lot of people did too, you know, once we saw this, like, okay, well, you know, he's coming on because he's getting some films. He's doing Batman. They're giving him Batman. Well, you know, it hasn't been announced that way so far, and, like, they're taking their time on that, but really, I believe that was, there was more in the deal, I believe, than him just being Batman.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because they don't just give the guy who just won the best, you know, when this was announced, he was the ruling, he was a champion, you know, the best picture. He just won for best director, best picture. Mm-hmm. And so...
I agree. All right, I'm going to have to cut this short because I do have to go soon. So I'm sorry to cut the podcast short, but I do want to talk about Ghost in the Shell. You brought it up. They announced this week that Scarlett Johansson, is she in talks? Is she in the running? Give me the rundown on the story.
From what I understand, they pretty much... Ghost in the Shell, they've always been trying to get it going. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know who is producing right now, but I mean, I have to look that up. Look it up. But they announced that they are approaching her. They're going after her as a lead. Now, I'm not sure if they've even talked. I haven't heard anything more about that. I'm sure we'll know more after today. But to me, that shows, because to me, you know, pretty much it's her and Jennifer Lawrence when it comes to big time female leads right now. I mean, they're the two biggest names are her and Jennifer Lawrence when it comes to just about anything action oriented with a female lead. is she my first pick to play?
I can't remember her name.
I can see. I just can't remember how to pronounce it. Marcuto.
Here, I got it up. Motoko. Motoko
Makoto?
Kusanagi.
Yeah. The Motoko. Yeah, but she's not my first pick to play a character, but it shows that they're going with that star power to attract people and put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, honestly, I would like to see probably Natalie Portman play that role. I think that would be fun.
I could see Natalie Portman. I think she could do a fairly good job at it. I could see Jennifer Lawrence or Scarlett Johansson do a really good job at it. Scarlett Johansson's already shown she can do the insane sci-fi action fight scenes, the acrobatics, the stuff like that, that I think will bring a lot to that role. I think that Jennifer Lawrence could do the same thing. She's done that with she did that with The Hunger Games very, very well. I am, on the whole, and there's really no one, by the way, there's no one attached to the film other than that right now, at least announced.
Who's the studio?
I don't know. Actually, they do. They have announced the director, I think. Is it Rupert Sanders? That's what it looks like.
Sounds familiar, don't.
But I'm looking it up right now. British film director. Yeah. I think he's doing the directing. I think he's directing the film.
Well, the thing about Ghost in the Shell is the film for that is overdue. I mean, we've had, what's that one with Johnny Depp that came out and bombed really bad? We've had that. We've had I, Robot, which is, I believe, the story for that, for I, Robot dates back to, what, 81, 82, or the 70s?
I, Robot, the book?
Mm-hmm.
I think even earlier than that. But the book, 1950, it was originally published in 1950.
Okay.
What's the same premise? No, the book is a collection of short stories.
That's what I thought.
That are
so
all kind of related.
Yeah, the movie... Really, the movie I, Robot really borrowed from Ghost in the Shell.
It did. It did.
The manga. A lot of movies recently, like there's one that just came out, looks really, it's more of a smaller indie almost movie with Antonio Banderas. I can't remember, the name escapes me right now, but it looks fantastic. And it definitely borrows from the same premises, you know, ghost and machine, you know, artificial intelligence life. Mm-hmm. And, And Ghost in the Shell handle it so well. And espionage is in there. I mean, it's just so fun, so well done. If they can do it right, it's gonna be an awesome movie. But right now, at this point, it's nothing really we haven't seen. What will make it new and fun is the female lead and her life and the people involved in it.
Okay. I would agree. I would agree. On a lot of what you said, I think we are overdue for a good cyberpunk film on like the level of like Johnny Mnemonic, which was
Yeah,
not
I
a
watched it the other night.
great
So
film, but is decent.
horrible.
We're in need of a good cyberpunk film, and I think that this could be it. I think that it could be very good. But you're right, like it's ultimately going to be come down to characters. And honestly, Johansson's a fantastic actress. I think she can handle it. I mean, did you see Lost in Translation?
Yeah, fun.
I hated that movie for a lot of reasons.
Well,
But I think she was fantastic in that. She was phenomenal in that. And so I'll devote a whole section of the podcast to talk about my hatred of Lost in Translation at some
was
point.
saying, like that, the thing that I like about that was her. Like, I don't know if I was it's back in the college days, so I'm not sure how much I pay attention to it, but her and Bill Murray's characters, I thought like they had great chemistry,
They
so.
did. They did. So, on the whole, I'm excited by the announcement. We don't know enough about it to really make a judgment call on it. Judging by the way American film companies have adapted Japanese like manga properties before, I'm not entirely sure I'm excited, but
Right.
I'm approaching it with cautious optimism. So,
Well, good for you.
good for me. All right.
Yeah, me too, honestly. I mean, we've been burned quite a few times, and we're
Yeah.
still waiting for it. Well, I don't know if do we even want a Akira anymore?
No, we do not. Let me have my manga, let me have the original anime. You know what? That's good enough for me. We don't need to mess with Akira. We don't need to set it in New York and miss the point. All right. Let's go ahead and wrap it up. I gotta go. You wanted to do some shout outs. The links for these shout outs are going to be in the post on idealcomics.net. So you can head to the idealcomics.net, look up the fans first podcast on the features section. This will be number four, fans first podcast number four. You can find the links for these shout outs, but go ahead and tell me what's drawing your attention this week.
Well, right now, I have two actually. One gentleman, I'm an artist, as we all know, so I follow him a lot. For I'm actually rededicated artist is what I am. So, I follow a gentleman by name of Sakria on YouTube, and he does a lot of how to draw things, and he also does sit-ins with other artists, that a lot of prominent, amazing artists. So tune into his YouTube site page, whatever you want to call it. It's SYCRA, Sakura. He'll do how to draw stuff. He does speed paintings. He does critiques. He's a fun character to listen to because he is hard on himself very much, very critical. But when he is demoing anything or when he's critiquing anything, he's so analytic and well spoken. He's a good talent. Big guy, tune into him. Another one on the nerd gamer side that we all love to do. I wish I had more time for. A modder. He does Let's Plays. Most prominent among the Bethesda games such as Fallout 3 and Fallout Vegas. Also big time into Skyrim. He is a modder. He is a Let's player. His name is Gopher. Just how you think Gopher spelled, Gopher, almost spelled it wrong. But he's a British guy. Don't hold against him. But he's great. He does how to do mods. He does a lot of stuff. But awesome dude. Real smart, real analytical, and fun to listen to. So check those guys out.
Cool. Sykra and Gopher. I'm going to go look at them right now. First, I'm going to close out the podcast. because I think we're done. I do want to say real quick, it's no secret to Barry and Reese and anyone else who's listened to us talk. I've never seen Man of Steel, but I started watching it today, and I probably watched the first half hour.
How do you do that? How do I
just watch half hour? I had to go because I had to get ready for the podcast. I would like to say that I would pay cash money to attend a movie solely about Russell Crowe as Jor-El traveling around Krypton on a sweet dragon solving crimes.
I knew that was coming. That was Jor-El and his dragging. That's all Chris takes away. Like, he'll watch the whole
thing. I haven't watched the rest of the movie.
Away from it.
Give me a break. I haven't watched the rest of the movie.
Dragon Rider.
Jor-El, Dragon Rider, solving crimes, unmasking villains, and his dragon pal.
Before his imminent death, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, what about that one crime? Tune in next week when Jor-El dies because he didn't need to solve it.
I was going to say that during the DC segment, but I forgot. But
oh well, I'm happy. I almost wish you had forgotten. Just kidding.
Alrighty. Well, let's go ahead and close this out. Thank you very much for listening to the Ideal Comics Nerdcast Fans First. We were fans first before we started making comics, and we continue to be fans. Of varying levels. I'm Christopher Lawton. I've been your host with Barry Tetz, the lead artist of Ideal Comics, as my sidekick. If you have any comments for us, you can email us at idealcomics.net, or drop a line on our Facebook page or our Twitter. We're there as well. Just look us up, Ideal Comics, or just go to idealcomics.net and scroll to the bottom. There's links down there. This has been Fans First. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you guys next week.